So we've got a long way to go, and we know we can match up with the best.
With the current climate, that this is just the way you got to do things at times.
With the concussion rules, I think some players wouldn't be telling them, though. There'd be players out there that are going, I'm not going to risk missing time.
When a guy remains at a club, then can be incredibly encouraging for the future.
We want to do our bit to ensure that the games go ahead.
We've been really inconsistent. Good football clubs and good football teams don't do that.
Your ticket into the heart of football. Welcome to the Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
Yeah, it's nice to have you with us, and great to have the company of North Melbourne superstar ruckman in the sanctum today, Todd Goldstein, who is a world record holder, which we think is very, very exciting. Todd, good morning.
G'day, Half. How are you going?
I'm going well, mate. You're a world record holder. How do you feel about that?
Oh, look, mate, you know, we've got to keep it, you know, calm and not get too ahead of ourselves, but, you know, there's plenty more free left in me. No, it was pretty cool. To get that, and you know, it's something that, you know, I've been aware of, that I was around the mark for the last probably 12-18 months, and I think it's just something that I can, you know, look back on when I'm finished and enjoy with my family. And, you know, I think it just probably goes to my family and friends who have sacrificed a lot for me to do what I do, and you know, I'm glad I can give them some joy along the way.
Well, you've done more than that through your journey. You've been a star, so that's not a problem at all. For those playing at home that may not be aware that Todd has now the record number of hit-outs in Australian rules football history since statistics have been taken. So he is top of the tree, a world record holder as far as we're concerned, and that's very, very cool. You said that you're aware of sort of that stuff coming in over the last little while. Are you a real numbers nerd, or has someone alerted you to this business?
I was asked a couple of weeks ago. I can't remember exactly when it was. I remember whether it might have even been around my 200th when, I forget, I think it might have been Brad was coaching us then, but I lose track of who was coaching at the time.
There's been a few through the journey.
It was brought up that I was second or third on the list, which made me look into it because I had no idea. And then I sort of saw it was in striking range, and I'm someone that takes a fair bit of pride in my craft and what I do, and you know, obviously I've played a lot of games against Aaron, so I knew how dominant he was. For me to be able to pick this up was pretty cool.
Did you know how many you needed in going into that game?
Yeah, I had probably the worst 24 hours pre-game because I reckon I did about 5 or 6 interviews. I had probably 15, 20 texts from family members and friends congratulating me on breaking the record. And I was sitting there going, Streeth, I got 7 hit outs to get here. If I don't get this, this would be pretty embarrassing. So yeah, I was very aware that I only needed 7 going into the game, and was pretty relieved when I came off, and I think it was Heath O'Loughlin said, congratulations, you've got it.
Because I was going to ask you, were you counting them, and did you know the one that got you over the line? Because it was quite a crafty little sort of flick, the one that actually got you over the line. It was quite clever.
Yeah, well, most of my hit-outs are quite clever.
That's true. That's true.
I lose track. But
I was hoping to
count, but us ruckmen, you know, counting to 7's a big ask as well as anything else. So I thought I'd just leave it.
Yes, very good. Now, how do you think you're going? Because since we last spoke to you, the results have continued to be better, both in-game and also the from a scoreboard perspective. Are you now starting to get to the point now where, like the game against Essendon, where you had them on toast, you know, in that first half, that you're disappointed that you're not getting the win?
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, I think the work that the entire group, the coaching staff, everyone has put in the first half of the season is really starting to pay off in this back end since the bye, and I think we've gone past the point now of really worrying about the effort and what side is going to turn up on the day, and we can now really focus in on the more nitty gritty stuff of where we're making mistakes in our system and where we're not executing our system well enough, which is a huge step for any side, I think, to take that. And you know, we were obviously very, very disappointed because I think we all felt like we could have been 4 or 5 goals up at half-time against Essendon. It would have been a very, very different game rather than the 10 points or whatever it was. So, yeah, we're definitely disappointed, but, you know, I think we can all see that we're heading in the right direction, and we just need to keep tightening up our systems and understanding the way we want to play and doing it for the 4 quarters.
Have you done anything different, Todd, in the last 4 or 5 weeks, or maybe even just since the bye, that's seen this almost rapid improvement, or is it just the natural improvement that's coming as you're getting used to the new game style, getting used to a new coach, and just the, I guess, the organic development of everyone?
Yeah, well, I think it was probably naive for us to think that we were going to come into round one after pretty much a month and a half pre-season and be 100% across a game plan brought in by a completely new coaching group. So I think it's got to give credit to the coaches we've got. And we've got someone like a Heath Uni who's got that teaching background. I think that's made a huge difference to this group to be able to understand how to introduce the plans and what they want us to do and do that gradually. So I think it comes down to the way the coaches have introduced the game plan, understand probably the most important bits we need to understand first, and have slowly, you know, incorporated new bits and pieces to give us a little bit more of an attacking edge. I think it's just that work, that slow build. It was going to take time, and probably that 2 weeks around the bye that we had was where we really went to work on hard education, and that's made a huge difference.
The performance against West Coast over there was brilliant in difficult conditions, Todd. My concern was going to be, leading into last week's game, that when you have those wins with a team that's developing and emerging, sometimes it's hard to come down from the high and you never really back it up. But your first half on the weekend was outstanding. Were you worried about that going in? Was that spoken about coming into the game against the Bombers?
Not really, to be honest. I think in a normal circumstance, you might be a little bit worried about that, but with the week that we had leading to that Bombers game, we had a fair bit going on.
Yeah.
I don't think we really had time. We sort of enjoyed the win that night after the game, but once we got back to Melbourne, I think we were in Melbourne for 24 hours, and then the Thursday morning we got an email saying we had a meeting at 9 a.m. to come in, and then we found out we were leaving in an hour to go to Brisbane. So we didn't really have time, I don't think, to process too much stuff. We just sort of went about our routines as much as we normally could, and play the game that way. And I think the expectation now for us is that the effort and the way we played against the West Coast Eagles is the bare minimum. That's what we expect from ourselves each week, and I think we're starting to get that.
So what happened in the second half? What was identified in the review about what went wrong in the second half against the Bombers?
Oh, we probably shot ourselves in the foot, as we said early on that first half, and we didn't take our opportunities, and then Essendon were obviously good enough to come at us, and we just made too many mistakes in terms of how we want to defend and how we want to attack, and you know, good sides will hurt you when they get opportunities. So I think that was the main thing, was just a bit more consistency in playing our way.
And when you got on the plane, or you were told you had an hour to get onto the plane, did you think you'd be staying in Queensland, or were you told at that time that you would be coming straight back after the game?
No, we had no idea. So I think we got out of the meeting about 10 o'clock, and we were pretty much told that we could be going for 4 days, we could be going for 3 weeks. We weren't too sure, and you had about 15 minutes to talk to your family and make a decision on whether you're going to come based on what was best for you and your family. So that was a bit of a whirlwind, 15 minutes trying to call our wives and our partners. And then we pretty much had about an hour to pack our bags, and we were told to pack for at least 3 weeks and pack for Brisbane and pack for Tassie, which is a different climate.
Couldn't get more contrasting.
That's right.
Yeah, so we had a fair bit of baggage when we left. We didn't find out we were coming back to Melbourne until late Saturday night before the game.
Right. So take us through that conversation with the partners. Well, not all of them, just yours. Because we've heard about the Giants and Sydney getting their families up in quarantine in Queensland at the moment so that they can spend some time together after being apart for a while. And not knowing how long you're going to be, how does that conversation go, Todd?
I'm pretty lucky. My wife is got a sporting background. She sort of understands the situation we're in and understands that, you know, that the best thing for me and my football was to go. But it was just making sure that she had the support with two kids under 18 months at home. It was really important that we had the right support around her, and we were lucky that her parents are around the corner from us at the moment. So we made that decision based on the fact that she had support, and you know, let's hope it was only 4 days, but you know, for 3 weeks, it's in the scheme of life, it's not a long time. So we felt like that we could get through that period And it was probably, it was a difficult one. I think I was probably struggling more with the decision than she was. But yeah, you know, it was, it's one of those things that I felt like I had a responsibility to the team and to the footy club to get on the plane, and that's what I did.
I understand that everyone copes with this differently, but as an experienced player, but a family man as well, how is it stuffing with your mind a bit, this uncertainty about where you're going to be, and is it a concern that it might have an effect on your footy, or is everyone just taking it in its stride or in their stride?
Well, I think this point of the season is probably very different to the way it was last year. I think, I mean, for us, we know we're not playing finals, so we know that we've got 5 weeks left, less than 5 weeks left now. So even if we did have to move states for the remainder of the season, it's not going to be an overly long period of time.
Yep.
So I think that probably helped you mentally understand. So I knew that, you know, obviously last year we left being told we're going to be gone for 35 days and ended up being 82 or whatever it was. Whereas this year you sort of go, even if the 3 weeks became the rest of the season, it was only going to be 2 more weeks. And you never know, they might have introduced shorter breaks and things like that. So mentally it was okay, but, you know, leaving your family for a few weeks is, the drop of a hat is a tough thing to get your head around. But, you know, I think for me, I was understanding of why I made the decision, and that makes it easier.
There's one player I wanted to ask you about, Todd, before we let you go, and that's Cam Zerha. And, you know, early in the season, he was really struggling. He just didn't seem to be the player, or even the person that we're used to seeing with that confidence and bit of bravado and the way he plays his footy. He's got back to that. Can you share with us a little bit about his journey this year? I know he's opened up a little bit publicly, but it's just great to see him back playing the footy that we all know he can play.
Yeah, I think Cam was probably judged quite harshly early on the season because he wasn't kicking goals, but he was doing a lot of unselfish team play, giving off to some goals and things like that, that we were all seeing and understanding where he was at early on. And I think it was really important for the whole group to make sure we were recognising the unselfish way that Cam was playing. We knew that the goal would eventually come, but I think for him, you know, he talks about, you know, getting his dog is a real turning point for him. But, you know, I think for a lot of players, it is that opportunity to have to grapple with, have to take care of something else other than yourself, can really be a growth in your maturity and the way you go about your life. And I think that is probably fairly true with Cam this year. And, you know, since obviously getting that dog, he's been a lot freer in his mind. He's been a lot freer on the field and really performing. And as soon as you play a couple of good games in a row, I think that confidence starts to build and you stick to those processes. And I think that's what we're seeing with Cam now.
It's amazing what a dog can do to someone. Just and I'm not trying to be facetious. Just take the focus off you, because you've got to come home and you've got to look after something and have responsibility for something else. And all of a sudden, your world just opens up a little bit and your mindset opens up a little bit about your spot in it, Todd.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, for me, you know, I think my career really took off when I had kids, and, you know, you realise that you're playing for something more than just yourself, and that really can make a huge difference. So, no, I think we're all enjoying what Cam's doing, and, you know, if he needs to get another dog, we're all for that.
Footy clubs are notorious going through phases of dog ownership. Is this a trend at the moment at the Kangaroos? Are there a couple sort of new ones floating around?
Yeah, it is. At the moment, it seems like players are either getting dogs or kids. So, it is a theme that's coming up, and yeah, a lot of young boys like to stick together. So I think they even get a dog club going where they try and catch up at a park earlier on when they're all getting dogs. So yeah, it's quite adorable for those young kids.
Nice stuff. Dogs are great things. Hey, Ben Cunnington, it's nice to have a young developing group, and we love what's building there at the Kangaroos, but you're a different team when Ben Cunnington plays. He wasn't there on the weekend. Will he be there against the Blues on Saturday?
Yeah, I think the plan is. I think obviously he's got to get picked.
I think he might get picked.
He gave up his spot last week, so you know, he has to get picked. So if he gets picked, then yeah, he'll take the field.
Righto. Well, that is a good sign for Kangaroos fans. You might sneak into the team, the champ, Ben Cunnington. It is Saturday at Marvel Stadium, 1:45. Check your local guides, Carlton and North Melbourne. It's going to be a very entertaining affair. Before I let you go, last one, I just thought about this. Do you want to get off the bottom? Is this one of the driving forces now? Do you want to not be given the spoon at the end of the year?
Oh, to be honest, that is not something we've talked about at all. For us, we we're not really worried too much about results at this point. Obviously, we want to win, but you know, I think that can't come before the process, and we need to get that right and make sure that when we are winning games of footy, that we're winning games of footy the right way. And if that means we win two or three more games out of our last five and get off the bottom, then great. But you know, we also don't want to be going giving up what we want to do as a team just to win games of footy, because that's not going to teach this young group the way to go about it. It's not going to be sustainable for success going forward. And that's the whole goal, and that's what the coaches are driving really hard. So if we get off the bottom, that would be obviously great, but it's definitely not something that we've spoken about, and I can't see the coaches talking about that at all.
Right. Well, we'll see how it goes. Five to go. A good chance to win another one this week if you're on song against the Blues, 145 Marvel Stadium. Thank you, Todd. Nice to have a world record holder, a part of the team.
Always happy to help you, Harv.
You're a good man. Todd Goldstein from the Kangaroos, part of the Inner Sanctum team with us in 2021. Nice chat with him. He might get picked, I reckon, Ben Cunnington.
I've just got a feeling he might.
Yeah, he's got a chance to sneak in.
I wonder whether Cripps will come back and it'll be Cunnington and Cripps sort of head-to-head type of activity.
Yes, good question. Well, we can talk about that.